if you're ready to confront your destiny, if this is the moment that you've been praying for, tune in and listen to your cosmic cheerleader, Commander Lady Athena, for cosmic pep talks for Closet Christ. The show is the voice of the Ashtar Command. The call is for you to step forward into your greatness. Be listening on Wednesday. We have an appointment with Destiny.
Greetings in the divine love of the Supreme Source. I'm Commander Lady Athena, and you're listening to the voice of the Ashtar Command. Cosmic Pep Talks for Closet Christs. This evening, our seminar topic is Flowing with the Divine River of Life. So if you're ready, let's take a deep breath and connect with that divine river of life that flows you from the very heart of Source down into and throughout creation. You are the living life, divine. Take another deep breath and breathe that in. Own it, anchor it, be aware. You are life, divine life, all the life that ever was, that shall ever be. You are life itself. And that life principle anchors in your crown and flows through your bloodstream and beats your heart and operates as intelligent creativity and awareness and the brilliance of cognition itself and the fire of divine enthusiasm and life and power and divine will and purpose and perfect order. All that manifests in you, through you, as you. And you're feeling that heat coursing through your body, many of you. That's what happens when your cells hear truth and begin to light up. The spoken word of truth activates life within yourselves. That's why you have to take care of what you utter, what you own, with that I am statement, because it becomes a law that you set in motion that the universe must obey. You are the speaker that speaks for God, as God. Only the human being can do that. All life either has been, will be, or aspires to be a human being. Oh, how precious is this incarnation. How difficult not only to get an auspicious and beneficial and blessed, guided, divinely aware incarnation, but to hear the very words you're listening to is a great sign of your spiritual merit. You cannot hear such words spoken unless you have extremely good merit to earn the right to be in the presence of anyone who speaks to you of truth, of God, of reality. I know so many of you who are listening And I know you came in for one thing, to realize the fullness of your divine potential in this lifetime. And so that you would never have to come back here in an obligation to fulfill personal unfinished business. If you come back to Earth or a similar world, it will be simply to be as a way shower, to assist others, and to assist in the unfoldment of the divine plan for this planet or some other planet in the lower heavens, still under the lessons that we learn in the school of polarized consciousness and duality. Life, beloved, is onward flowing. It's never the same in any instant. Nor are you. Everything is moving and adventing into a new manifestation, a greater and more abundant expression of the life source. It's exciting, it's animating, it's vivifying, it's empowering. If you're in the flow, if you're not, you're blocking yourself unnecessarily. Get in the flow. So what is this flow? God in you, as you, manifests as living light and the living Word made flesh. And the manifestation through that which was made flesh is living love. The flow is the heart current of Source. You, as individualized consciousness, are a conduit, a unique conduit of that. There is not another resonant field of love similar to yours in all of existence. There are certain things that are unique to each person. Your soul journey, your sojourn through the dreams of time and space and becomingness is unique. The tip of your tongue is unique. The resonant heartbeat and frequency of your heart is unique. The cadence and the resonance of love emanating from your heart is unique. Your irises, your eyes are unique. Your fingerprints are unique. Other parts of your body are unique. Your blood is unique. It contains the entire history of your movement through endless incarnations and worlds and universes and galaxies and beyond. Beyond into the formless God realms themselves. There is not another in all of creation like you. So are you alive? Are you really alive? We all assume we're alive. But you can tell whether people are alive or not. If they're active in the flow of divine life. Is the river of divine life flowing through you? What would that look like? Amazing. Look at Yogananda. Look at Satya Sai Baba. Look at Jesus the Christ. Look at any one of the God-realized masters. And you'll see someone that's alive. Really alive. The Course in Miracles says, in one of the lessons, there is but one life, and that I share with God. But I would take it a bit deeper. And that is by affirming, I am divine life. I am that one divine life currently expressing as a limited point of view. You know what? Excuse me. This strikes me as very funny. The next time somebody asks you to tell them about yourself, try this. You could say, I am life expressing as a limited point of view. I'll bet you never thought of yourself ever as that, did you? I am life expressing as a limited point of view. Now, I think that's worthy to have some tea time with, don't you think? Did you ever consider your current personality with its name and labels and accomplishments as a limited point of view? Well, that's absolute truth. That's a factual definition of everyone who is identifying with anything less than their true God self. Okay, for most, that's beyond their comprehension. That's a given, okay? But I'm talking to you. And you're not going to be putting up with me week after week unless you've already awakened to many of the things that I speak about so that you can agree with them. Because we only like to hear things that agree with our points of view, right? Who wants to listen to something that you don't understand, right? You turn it off. If you don't understand it, if you have no common reference points, you're not going to like it, whether it's a book or a speaker or a teaching or whatever. We only like what agrees with what we've already realized within ourselves. So when you like something in a teaching, it's because you recognize it as something that you have already touched into as a knowing within yourself. So a limited point of view is a factual definition of everyone who is identifying with anything less than their true self. So using this metaphor of the river, let's consider that life is like a river. It is constantly in movement, ever flowing. So powerful that nothing can impede that flow. It washes away every obstacle on its way. Now, we could jump into that river and allow it to carry us with the flow. That's simple. You're just carried downstream with the flow. No problem. If you don't fight and you just float on your back, you could stay that way indefinitely. However, some people would jump into the river and try to swim to shore, which would be going against the currents. They may or may not make it to shore. Some will try to jump into the river and swim against its currents. Maybe they fell into the river. And they will quickly, if they fight, The river and the current, they'll quickly deplete their strength and possibly drown. So you can see there are several ways to interact with a river. But the one thing that is absolutely impossible is for anyone to step into the exact same place in the flowing river. Metaphor, you can't repeat a second of your life. Every moment is whole within itself. Every moment is holographic throughout eternity. You can't return to the past, and you cannot really know what's going to happen in the future because you're making it up as you move, step by step. Your moment handled now is making the future, but you can't know it because you're living in the randomity of consciousness that's ever flowing, ever new, ever moving. Those of you who think you see the future are simply back on the timeline of the past-future timeline. You have a past-past, a past-present, a past-future. But we're not talking about living in time. We're not talking about living in the linear mind, which is simply the memory of sequential dreams, regurgitated as if they were new in the moment. That's why I say most of us are not fully alive. Because we're still asleep and dreaming and caught up in the time and the machinations of the mind. So I think the river is a really good metaphor for how we approach life. How is your life? What's going on with your life? How do you feel inside? You feel clear and squeaky clear and clean. You don't have any issues that are running you. Nothing that needs to be released into the river. Okay, let's do this. Imagine before you a river. A river of divine light. A divine sound. Of divine love. It is the river of the divine life itself. And find anything in your resonant field that isn't sitting lovingly and flowingly and peacefully within you. Anything. Is it a relationship? Is it something you have held against yourself or another? Is it a disease that you've been diagnosed with and you don't know what to do? Is it a financial burden? You see, all of these things are speculations, aren't they? Because you really don't have any control over them, you think. We are such control freaks. We want to know what's going to happen. We want to know the outcome. Get over it. Doesn't work that way. Okay, keep looking. Wherever there's a dissonance, wherever there's an uptightness, wherever there's a tummy knot, wherever there's a worry that keeps you awake at night, a child, a loved one, someone you're concerned with, take the issue, the energy of the issue, the problem of the issue. Roll it all up to one big ball of energy. Get it all gathered in there. And I want you to take a deep breath and Toss it in the river. Let it go. Now you can see it's flowing down the river and dissolving in the divine light, love and sound and love of God. It's gone. Finished. Do that every time something arises that disturbs your peace. Let it go. Toss it into the river of divine love and light and mercy, the living word, the sound current. And let it go. You know, there's a beautiful ceremony. I know you've seen it on the television. Some of the travel shows, they feature the scene along the Ganges River in Hardwar, Varanasi, different places in India. You have access to Ma Ganga, Ganga Mata, the Divine Mother in the form of the river. Now, it's interesting because the river itself is of divine origin. It's an actual incarnation of the Divine Mother. But it's very interesting because whatever you put into Ma Ganga is rendered pure. So many millions of people bathe in that river, and it's said that when you take a bath in the Ganges, all of your sins are washed away, and you are given liberation. You don't have to reincarnate again. That's the belief. People believe that if their ashes and they are cremated on the ghat, or the ghats, there are many of them, where the cremation takes place, that immersing the body, washing the body in the Ganges, and then putting the ashes in the Ganges, that you're granted liberation. Strong belief in India. So many people go there to finish their lives. Oddly enough, I was born in Varanasi in my last lifetime. I find that very interesting. Most people go there to die. I was born there. But I think I was born there to die to the sense of separated self. That's what my life has been about. Realizing, awakening to the life that I truly am. So maybe that's why I was born there. Who knows? But anyway, imagine that you're standing on this river, that whatever's put into it, it's released and rendered pure. It's offered to God. And whatever you offer to God is purified. You can't offer something to God that it isn't made pure. That's why when you have a bad habit, offer it to God. Say you want to get over smoking. Every time you smoke, offer the cigarette to God. You want to get over drinking? Every time you pour a drink, offer it to God. Any bad habit, offer it to God. The bad habit hasn't a chance. It hasn't a chance once it's been offered to God. That which was the Durguna, the bad quality, is dissolved. The very act, you see, is one of dying to the sense of the separated negative self. You are burning it. You are dissolving it. You are offering it. So whether you offer it in the fire, the burning fire of the God, or you offer it into the water, remember we did the seminar a few weeks ago, about how in every flame there is the quality of divine water, because water and flame are part of the same element. In every drop of rain there is the holy fire, Agni. So anyway, back to the Ganges. so many people bathing and drinking that water. It's their only source of water for most of the people there. They're drinking the water in which all these bodies have been washed and cremated and whatever. And yet, no matter how much is put into that river, when they've examined the water scientifically, it's pure. How is that? I've drunk Ganges water and I didn't get sick. Kind of creeped me out a little bit, to tell you the truth, but I was in a divine mood at the time, so I drank it. I don't know if I would if I wasn't in a divine mood, though, to tell you the absolute truth. But anyway, stand on the banks of the Ganges in your imagination, which is the same thing as being there. Where you think you are is where you are. And if you like, you can make yourself one of those little paper boats, little paper containers. You see people offering these little boats, little containers that float out on the water. Why don't you make yourself one? Or if you want, you can do it later when we go off the air. You can use this and the river, casting things into the river, as your new modus operandi for getting rid of unwanted baggage, unwanted griefs and sorrows and unhappy energetics within yourself. You can release them. So anyway, imagine that you've made a little paper boat, a little container, a paper plate, if you will, and put your prayer there. Put the ones that you are holding prayer for, or put the worries that you have, the things that are heavy on your heart, the things that concern you. Put your, whatever it is that you want to release to the Divine Mother, put them in a prayer inside that little boat. You can write them down in your imagination, and put a letter, a slip of paper, whatever, and then put nice little flowers around like they do. Put a nice little candle, light flame, little votive candle, if you will. Put a nice little incense stick, which they do. And then bend down, stoop down on that. You're standing on a step over the Ganges, which is at water level. And now release your little boat and see Mother Ganga grab the boat with her current and carry your prayers with her current as they float out. Out of sight, out of mind. Mother has it. Let it go. Simple, huh? Simple. You should never go to sleep with an issue that you haven't offered to the Lord. Why lie in bed at night and think about things at a time you can do nothing about them whatsoever? I used to tell my mind that years ago when I used to have a lot of worries. I would say, mind, we don't have to think about that right now. All we need to do is to go to sleep, okay? And after a while, I trained my mind not to waste energy thinking about things whose time has not come for their solving. You see how pointless it is to worry, because the problem and the solution can only come together. So if you're worrying about something you're afraid is going to happen in the future, there's no solution, and all you can do is just waste time worrying. You know, we worry about things that might happen, which very seldom do, actually. And it's so pointless. We rob ourselves of moments of life, of bliss, of creativity, of joy, of freedom, by indulging in these pointless habits and not taking charge of our mind and our thoughts. The thought stream itself is flowing like a river through everyone's mind. There's only one mind, and it's the mind of God. And then you have this little false ego mind that's, you know, reeling out a series of nightmares and what ifs and worries and all of that. That's all part of the separated ego mind. Maybe it's a good idea to go down into the Ganges and take out your brain and your mind and wash it. Wash it in the Ganges. You know, this might gross you out, but Sai Baba's previous incarnation, Shirdi Sai Baba, he was a miracle worker. He looked like an old Muslim fakir. And he did very many odd things. He could take off his arms and legs and hang them in his hut, would freak out his devotees, seeing his torso sitting on a plank. He slept on a plank. He would take his intestines out in the river and wash them, and then swallow them again. I'm sorry if I grossed you out. But just to let you know that nothing is impossible to the divine being that you are. And we live such demi-lives, such little mediocre, na-na-nu-nu, little silly, stupid, what can you say? We need to wake up. We need to live life. We need to jump into that river of divine light and sound. And let it soak us until we have merged with it. We actually merge with our own self because we are extensions of divine love and the living word, the sound current. We're not separate from that. That's who we are. That's what we're made of. We are made of living light that's immortal and eternal. Never born, never dies. We are the living word that spoke everything into creation, into existence. We are that word. We are that word made flesh. We are the walking temples of the Most High. We are the tabernacles of the living light and the living word. Of the divine source itself, of life. Everything came from us. Everything returns to us. We are mother, father, creator. We are daughter, son. We are all that is. What is full enlightenment but simply the recognition that we are the all that is? That's beautiful, isn't it? You know, I had a dream. I used to have a very difficult mind. I think all of our ego minds are difficult. I don't think mine was any more difficult than anyone else's. But I came in with a lot of resistance. Basically, I wanted things to be different than they were. I was one of those people that was so heavenly minded, I was no earthly good. It took me a long time to get grounded and to accept life for what it was. I was very critical of life, and being very critical, I was very judgmental. Of myself, and when you're judgmental with yourself, you're judgmental to other people too. When you're hard on yourself, you're hard and harsh with other people too. And I was always trying to be perfect, perfect, perfect. I wanted to live up to the perfection that I had imagined in my mind represented God. I wanted to do everything perfect, mainly because I wanted God to love me. That's really the bottom line of it. I wanted to be loved. I wanted Big Daddy in the sky to love me. You know, I think a lot of us run that kind of program because we want the Father in heaven to approve of us. We want our earthly Father to approve of us. And so we project that Father image on God. We project that Mother image on God. Sai Baba said that the true Father, our true Father is truth. Our true Mother is love. Our true Son is wisdom. Our true Daughter is peace. And the only friends that are true friends are other self-realized beings. Yeah. That makes it simple, huh? So we project these anthropomorphic kind of imagery out on the formless, nameless it of itself, which is simply light, sound, and divine love, river ever flowing of life eternal. And we live like children instead of standing in the maturity of a God-realized being. That's what we're here to be and do and manifest as Godhood. Not to be a child. I think we've been children long enough. Speaking spiritually, not the inner child. So when we're fighting and resisting the flow of life, we are creating unnecessary turmoil and hardships. And that's what I was doing at that point in my life. I was making life too hard for myself. And so I had a dream that I was in a river. Get the symbols here. I was in a river of bees. Now, according to the sound current teachings, in which I am an initiate and a teacher, bees represent the sound of bzzz, buzzing. That's the sound current of the etheric plane, where our blueprint and our subconscious subjective impulses and symbols and things that arise in our consciousness. So it was telling me that I was fighting against the subconscious imprints of my karmas that were coming up and tormenting me subconsciously, and that's what I was battling. But in my dream, the more I fought the bees, the more they stuck to me. You know, when you fight something, literally, if you're in a swarm of bees, if you just stayed still, they wouldn't sting you. But if you start flailing your arms and beating the air and everything, they're going to sting you right and left, right? So that was what was happening in my dream, was that the more I tried to push the bees away and the more I resisted the flow of the bees around me, the more they came into my field and stuck to me. They didn't sting me in the dream, thank God. But the metaphor is, the more you fight something, the more you give energy to it, and it sticks to you because you're actually imbuing it with its stickability, if you will. Get the picture? Don't fight your circumstances. They are what they are because that's what's best for you. Realize that what's in your life right now is what you wanted to be there so that you could work through it, so that you could address it, master it, balance it, clear it, make peace with it, come into harmony with it, whatever it is. You wanted it there. Of course you forgot. The rule is that you can't bring in the knowing. You have to wake up within the situation and return it to your awareness consciously. Nobody comes in knowing the script. We get a fresh start in each lifetime. Thank God. And you're given exactly that portion that you're meant to address right now. So no matter what it is, it's there because it's part of your walking yourself home to God. It's part of your journey. It's part of everything that's answering your prayer. I don't care what it is. Now, we all come in with an idea, I think. I think all of us do. with how things are supposed to be, right? This is the right way to live. This is the right kind of life. This is what we should have in our life. We should have this and this and this and this. And you know, it varies with people. But we all have a set idea of what it is to have a, quote, good life or a happy life or whatever that is for you, successful life. And when life delivers us something else, we think something's gone wrong. No, 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 no. God delivers to you exactly what is for your highest good. Actually, God doesn't. You deliver to you as a soul, because God is an impersonal witness, according to Sai Baba. God observes. God is the witness, that part of us that is the monad or the witnessing self, the Sakshi, is the awareness observer, you know, just the person who is watching from the balcony, but is not down identifying with being a character in the play. Get the difference there. There's a part of us that just watches our shenanigans down here in this human personal presentation and is completely unaffected with what we do or say or anything because it knows that we're forever one in the heart of God. We've never left the heart of God. We're forever one with our Creator. All is well. We're just watching the plays of consciousness, of momentums and consequences that we have set into motion. There's nothing wrong with anybody. Everything's going just as it's meant to. There is nothing wrong with the world. There is nothing wrong with the political situation, the environmental situation. None of it. What's going on? People are reaping the consequences of their choices. When you choose to do something, it has consequences. It has repercussions. If you want only good things to happen, then do only good things. Be conscious, be awake, be aware, be responsible. If you're living willy-nilly and passing the buck and the blame onto somebody else and everything else, you're sound asleep. You're ignorant. You don't know who you are. You're not alive. You want somebody else to fix the problem that you yourself created. You want the Ashtar Command or the space people to come down and fix the mess you've made on Earth. They've already learned that lesson. They've already been there, done that. We on Venus had the same problems that you have today on your world. For the same reason, we lived unconscious, selfish lives. We didn't pay attention to what we were creating. But we finally learned our lesson and transcended to a higher state of consciousness. And that's exactly what's happening right now. We have made that shift. I think we made, wow. Yesterday, did any of you people have, like, incredible pain in your body? I had such pain in my body yesterday, I was walking about groaning out loud. Solario came in and she touched my shoulder, took all the pain. That's what she does. Took it instantly with one touch because she's encoded to work as part of the team. You know, we work as a team. And I said, I think it's the grids because I was fine the other day. Today I feel fantastic. Yesterday I was groaning and moaning. And when I asked the command, I said, what's going on? They said that we were making that final grid shift. And my body is gridded into the dimensions that are shifting, the levels of consciousness that are being shifted. And many of you who are grid workers may be feeling that too. And it has nothing to do with the physical body. I took a pain pill. It didn't do a thing. And I really have to be hurting before I take a pain pill. But I was desperate. And there was no impact on the physical body at all. So it was proof that it was not the physical body. It was the grids. Everything to exist on the planet has to have a network of connection, okay? It's like a hair net or like a fish net. that covers the earth, but you don't have just one, you have several. You have quite a few, as a matter of fact. Well, I personally, as part of my mission, work with the consciousness grids. So I carry the third dimensional, the fourth dimensional, the fifth dimensional grids, and maybe more, I don't know. But anyway, those are probably enough for me to have to worry about. And they are energy streams that connect us throughout wherever our mission is encoded to be connected to. In my case, it has to do with universes and galaxies. And we each have different things that we're working with, and some of you are grid workers, and some of you haven't a clue what I'm talking about. But maybe this information is not for you. But there's a few people that I'm talking to tonight that are wondering why in the world you hurt so bad. Yesterday, and maybe the last 2, 3, 4 months, maybe the last 2 years, it's been really hard to be in that physical body. Oh, my God. Really hard, really challenging. And I have to tell you that in my understanding from what the command told me yesterday, it's all about the grids that are shifting. And those of us that have volunteered to be the tugboats, as it were, let's use that metaphor, we're the tugboats that are pulling this massive ship of higher dimensional consciousness into its next birthing point. I, with all my heart, believe that's what's happening now. The psychics and the intuitives and the channels are all receiving very similar information with very slight variation in how they describe it. So I think, I believe, and I have a certain knowing that that's what's happening now. And so everything that's happening on the planet is part of a massive final clearing that has to be cleared, because none of that stuff that's going on right now in the news, none of that consciousness is able to go into the higher dimension of living love. We're moving into the golden age of truth, so no lie can stand, no lie can enter, no false posturing and identity can enter. The only thing that can enter is the sattva guna, the quality of serenity and divine life and goodness. Divine goodness is sattva guna. That's the quality of divinity within us, of equanimity and loving composure and goodwill and friendliness and kindliness and goodness. That is the quality you have to have built in to be able to live in the Satya Yuga, the age of truth. So everything else is going to have to either be cleared right now, or those people are going to have to move on to a parallel version of the earth that's still in the third dimension. And by the way, I think that's happening now too. Have any of you experienced recently where people that you were close to all of a sudden are not coming to mind? People maybe that you prayed for every single day in your prayers, you're not remembering them? You're not remembering to pray for them? That's really weird for me, because it's happened to me. And some of these people I've been praying for 60 years. So it's really weird to me to suddenly not have them come to mind. The only thing I can think of is that they have shifted already to this alternate reality, this parallel version of the earth, because they're not finished learning the third dimensional lessons. The third dimension is all about dissolving everything into the loving. You know, it's all about everything that polarizes and keeps you in a position of againstness towards anyone or anything. You can't be against anyone or anything, because to come against someone is to come against yourself. There's only one Paramatma, one Supreme Divine Self. And we're all one at that level. So even in these lower levels of, we might say, the ego's nightmare, you can't be fighting against yourself and hoping to merge with yourself, if you catch my drift. Only love draws you Godward. Only loving gives you the password and the passport to move into this higher dimensional level that we call the Golden Age. Prema Sai Baba is a little boy now, about 7 years old, that's growing up, and his ministry, his mission will be to teach, you are God. You yourself are God. Sai Baba's mission, Satya Sai, which the three Sai Babas come together as one, like a trinity. You have Shirdi Sai Baba, you have Satya Sai Baba, you have Prema Sai Baba. So they embody the first universe, the second universe, and the third universe that we're moving into right now. Population 1 density planet, population 2 density planet, population 3 density planet. If you want to know what those are, look at the Keys of Enoch by Dr. J.J. Hertak. He speaks about them. So a population 2 density planet, which we are moving into now, is one that has interaction with other star nations, other worlds that are inhabited by other beings and civilizations from other planetary systems. So that's why we're moving now out of just being in the Earth. We're beginning to move out into other places in the cosmos, and that's part of that population 2 density world that we are now inhabiting. So everything is happening the way it's meant to, but it has to keep pace with the level of consciousness of the planet. And the level of consciousness is represented by the choices people make in their daily life. Every choice leads to consequences. If it's a choice made out of ego, you're locked into the lower worlds. If it's a choice made in harmony with the river of life within you, the divine love and light and sound current, a choice that's made out of your divine self, your soul, your atmic self, that, you see, takes you into the realms of reality, beyond duality, into oneness with God. You begin to be inhabited by the divine spirit, the spirit of truth, the spirit of sanctification, the spirit of holiness, which is your whole self realized. It's not an outside force. The Holy Spirit is simply another term for the river of divinity that's flowing as the light and sound currents. That's all it is. You, yourself, are made up of unique light encodements, unique sound harmonics. I saw this aboard ship. Lord Ashtar showed me the unique, the unique composite of my light and sound encodements. He showed them in a revolving template above my light body when I was standing and looking aboard ship at my various levels of consciousness. And he showed me what I really look like. And it was unique light, sound, and color, sacred geometric patterns that were moving, constantly in motion. So we each have one of those. You know, we're familiar with the orbs now. Those orbs, Sai Baba said, are spirits. That's what a spirit apparently looks like when it's out of the body. It looks like an orb. And somebody took a photograph of the street outside Sai Baba's ashram. It was packed solid with orbs. Solid. There wasn't an inch that wasn't packed with an orb. And somebody asked Sai Baba about it, and he said they were spirits that were coming to be with him. So you see, there's a level in which our body, our soul body, looks like an orb. So the orbs that we see around us are also parts of our own holographic expression. So we have a level of us that is everything. You know, we have a level that is God. We have a level that's the archangel. We have a level that's the angel. We have a level that's the devas. We have a level, well, just go on and on and on and on. Name everything in creation, and you exist in that form on some level, in some way, because there's nothing that is separate from you that is not you. Everything you see within and without is you, your own God self, your own life, objectified. Cool, huh? I mean, these are deep, deep, deep topics. But if we don't think deeply, we live very shallow lives, very superficial, mundane, stupid lives, where we live little different than an animal. An animal eats and sleeps and defends its property and copulates. And that's it. And if we live and do only those things, then we're living at an animal level. But man has a divine potential that unfolds and develops through countless immersions into different bodies, in different worlds and different realms and different dimensions and different life forms, until finally he evolves into a human being. And the human being is the springboard to become a superhuman being. A superhuman being is a springboard to become a divine identity with a capital I. You become a co-creative spirit in the cosmos. And then beyond that, I can't speak. I mean, who knows? But just saying, there is an endless unfolding of that divine potential until it blossoms and looks like an avatar. You see in the avatar that ripened potential as much as we can embrace it on the earth. I mean, you know. Anyway, I'm saying that there's no end to the manifestation of the glory of God. That is who and what you are forever. Now it's in this little limited persona, this little limited point of view, and we're not here to just stay there. We're here to unfold in ever broadening and expanding of our awareness, our compassion, our sensitivity to how we move through life, how we engage with life, how we interact with the other aspects of ourself that we call people, quote, out there, with how we walk upon the earth, with how we caretake the things in our possessions, the things in our orbit. How are we enhancing the quality of life in everything we touch? You know, when an avatar touches you, that touch is ineradicable. Sai Baba laid his hand on my head. He's held my hands. He's touched me, and I keep thinking, wow, God in the manifested form of Satya Sai Baba touched me. That means throughout eternity, people can tell that I was touched by God. And that applies to any divine being that you've ever interacted with. It stays in your auric field. That touch is forever. Wow, I start to go into bliss when I think about that, and then I won't be able to talk anymore. Fortunately, it's coming to the end of the seminar, so I can just bliss off and drift away and merge with God and be absorbed in that river of love and light and sound. So every time you chant the hue and you shift your awareness into your higher self, your higher principles, you die to this world and you forget the things of this world, and you don't care after a while about anything but dissolving and emerging and immersing, is what I'm trying to say, yourself in that river of divine life. until you become one with it. We could call it the river of divine life. We could call it the living word. We could call it the beloved. But precious, precious ones, it is who we are and what we are forevermore. I encourage you with all the love in my being and the love of the great, great Parampara, the lineage in which I stand and through whose authority I speak, that the best is unfolding now. Hang in there. The best is unfolding now. And eye has not seen, nor has ear heard, nor has the mind of man imagined the wonderful things that God has prepared for each one of you, each one of us. It is beyond imagining this golden age that we are now entering. It's worth everything we have to go through to clear that baggage that just is too heavy to go on this flight. You just got to jettison the old and know that you will be arrayed in new garments in a pristine and beautiful new world. And the time is now. No more waiting. It's now. It's in process. So move with that flow. Find the flow and go with it. Go with the loving. For that is where you find the presence divine. It's all in the loving. So let's take a deep breath and chant three Anai hues. The Anai, I was told by a friend who was in Ekankar, is the actual statement of God when Moses asked him, "Who am I to say sent me?" And God said, "I am that I am." And as Ekkus did some research, and found out that Anai Hu means I am Hu, or I am God. So, that opens up that divine potential that begins to manifest as a sense of kinship with all life and empathy. So, let's take a deep breath and chant Anai Hu three times. Anai Hu, Anai Hu, our hands, we send blessings to every man, woman, and child, every sentient being on this entire planet, all the kingdoms of nature, all of the spirits and all of the kingdoms of nature, and all life forms everywhere. May you be healthy. May you be happy. May you be peaceful. May you all have a touch of the love of the living word and the living light of the divine source. Blessings and grace. Namaste.